I got the privilege this morning of concluding our series, The Heart Life. So we've had some great weeks. And just to recap, if you have not been here, this is a deep topic, the heart life. And Blake had kind of helped us and opened up what is the heart. And the week I was here, I remember I wrote some things down. He said, the heart is broken. The heart is, it cannot be trusted, and we need a new one. We can all agree to that. I think we can feel that. We can sense that. Eddie talked about how six principles in keeping our heart, or what does it look like to be a man or woman after God's own heart? How do we, what does that look like? And then how do we develop that kind of heart? Which was a great, great message. I'd encourage you to listen to these, go back. So I'm finishing that today. And as I was thinking about this, what kept coming to me was, how do we continue on from here if we've examined the heart, if we've looked at the heart, if we've gained better understanding about the heart? How do we now continue to walk and to live a life where our heart is healthy? How do we continue on rather than have a moment where a sermon inspired us, or that was great, I understand a little better now? How do we continue to live from a place, an inner place of health? And the premise that the heart is broken assumes that the heart once was whole. And there is a place where our hearts were made to be. And today, I really believe that in order for us to continue in health, we first have to return home. To that first environment that God put the human heart. We have to return home. You know, the natural tendency of the human heart is not to get closer to God. Right? So if we just pull the anchor and just let ourselves drift, we never drift toward God, His presence and worship, right? We always drift towards me, self-reliance, I can do this. And usually it looks one of two ways. Either I got this, I don't need God, or I got this, I can get to you, God. Right? So self-reliance comes in two forms. One, I don't need you, and we buck God, faith, church, fellowship, or God, I'm coming, and I can earn my way to you. And both are wrong, but both are the natural tendency and the natural drift of the human heart. So how do we come home? How do we come home? Before I read where home started, we can all agree that we're talking about heart health here. Can we not agree that sometimes what is and what is not healthy can be a bit confusing? Yes. Right? So if we can't even agree on physical bodily health and what is and what isn't healthy for us today in 2017 with all the research, you know, all the supplements, vitamins, the advance of medicine, we still debate what is healthy. How much more might it be a little confusing about what is healthy for our soul? You know? So I think that it would behoove us to say, well, where did our insides come from? And where do we start? And I think Blake touched on this, but I'm going to remind us of it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. first God formed the man. So first, we human beings were a shell, a form, a body. But we were not a living being yet. So first the form, then the breath. And God breathes his breath into Adam, and he becomes a living creature. Wow. Look, there's a lot of cool animals out there. I mean, you know, they're like some, bring a puppy, right, across the park, and you just hear weird sound. Oh, you know, like all people just, they don't even talk to anybody, but man, they see a puppy and it just melts your heart. Or what about a dolphin? You know, like, I mean, who doesn't like dolphins, right? I know kittens are debatable. I'm not even sure God likes cats, right? Amen. Kidding. Kidding. But none of them received the breath of God like Adam. There's something that distinguishes the human. So if you felt, now I just don't know if I'm worth very much. Let me tell you what. You're worth more than anything this earth can possess, because the breath of God has come into you. Just being created in his image, being kick-started, jump-started, the first breath or heartbeat came from a divine place. What an amazing, amazing thing. And this is the beginning of the human heart. You know, there's a lot of words in scripture, you know, heart, soul. David says, all that's within me. And Blake and I talked about this when we were looking. And I think I've always maybe heard or just kind of looked at the mind, the will, the emotions, the heart, the soul, all these different categories. But the more I looked at words, I was like, what does this word soul mean in the Greek or Hebrew? What does this heart mean? They all had the same kind of descriptions. And so when I say heart, this morning, I want you to think the inside of me, the seat of my emotions, of my feelings, of my spirit, my will, my emotions, all of that is in the heart or in the inside. David said, let all that is within me bless his name. Let all that is within me worship him. And that's where we see Adam here in Genesis, the breath of God, and then he begins to walk with God. In the cool of the day, he speaks with God. There's a relationship there, and it's an incredible picture. And I believe the ancient Hebrews, because of this, they believed that man lived on the borrowed breath of God. So you and I exist on borrowed breath. And that is why I believe when we begin to take our breath and form it into worship and begin to give back something that has been given to us or lent to us or loaned to us and give it back to him, that is when we begin to experience our hearts coming home, our soul coming home. When we give back something that's already been borrowed to the one who gave it, we begin to experience something that just feels right. It feels like home. Over the years, so many people have talked to me about worship here, like, man, the worship today or the worship on Sunday. And sometimes without being able to articulate it, what I think people sense and feel is a place that they were made for. It's why we worship every Sunday. It's why we engage in song and in lifting up words and using that breath to glorify him, because it brings us back to where we first began with the borrowed breath of God. So this morning I want to look at four essential elements for our heart from the essential environment that we were created in. Does that make sense? Four essential elements for our heart from that first environment that God put man in. How do we come home? And you know, there's a lot going on today that's been said already this morning. You feel it, I feel it. I'm looking at these things, I'm preparing this stuff, and I'm like, God, where does this fit? Like, do I need to talk about something else? And I felt like, no, you don't. We'll let that pass. So I'm just as distracted as you are. So I'm thinking about where does this fit today, Lord? And sometimes I was like, is this even like what we need to be talking about? And you know, I kept coming back to how important a healthy heart must be in this time, in this day. How many people are living and breathing on the borrowed breath of God, but living internally nomadic, no home, wandering, looking, searching? And in this hour, I believe, I mean, we could say exaggerated things like more than ever, maybe, maybe not. But in this hour, I know we need healthy hearts who know where home is and can be everywhere when God needs to be there, right? In the form of a touch, a prayer, a word of encouragement, a peacemaker, right? So I believe this is very, very pertinent for us. The first essential element we see in Genesis 2, verse 9, is an environment of rest. Rest. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this word this summer. In conversation, I don't know if anybody else has, in sermons I keep listening to, there's this recurring theme of how much we need to learn how to rest. And probably the fifth or sixth time, I'm like, maybe I need to listen to this. You know, I go back to it. Like, am I resting? But look at verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God put Adam in this environment of peace, of rest. And you know what blows my mind about this? Is that the first description of Eden is like, the trees were awesome. You know, like, wait a minute, what did it say? The trees, they looked amazing. And the food was incredible. Look, when is the last time you just got together with friends and just ate a good meal and talked about God? I did it this week, and let me tell you, it was incredible. I mean, I could have left the most powerful prayer service, and I think both would have been just as healthy for my soul. God put Adam where he could look around and say, wow, wow. I was on the Blue Ridge Parkway a few weeks ago. We just stopped the car. Wow. Like just layers and layers of God's fingerprints. Just incredible. You ever stop? Just take a breath and say, man, God, you're amazing. You ever eat a meal to the glory of God? I mean, you know, he made this stuff. Yes. My brother feels me. I love having meals over at your place too. He knows how to treat that meat. Or the grand, if you go to the Grandy's, you get some incredible roasted veggies grown in the garden. All right. I mean, it's all good and pleasing. If this is the first description of Eden, I think there's something to it. How are you resting? Now, look, this principle of rest is so important that God built it into his creation, his 7 days. You think God needed to rest? No, but he builds in a Sabbath. And in the Old Testament, he gives the Hebrews the command, you must take a day and rest. You'll kill yourself. You'll be less productive. Right. It's healthy to rest. Now, here's the incredible thing about us in the New Testament. We don't have to just take a day off and rest. No, Jesus has fulfilled that law for us, and he becomes our Sabbath rest. What do you mean, Beatty? All right, just like every Old Testament law has been fulfilled by Christ, to take one, there was a high priest who had to go in God's presence on behalf of the people who couldn't go in because they would be vaporized in God's presence. And so this guy, he walks in there with bells on, right? Because if he gets fried, somebody's got to pull him out. I don't hear the bells anymore. Here went another one. Like, this is a whole, he goes in on behalf of the people. And this is how they would receive atonement for sin. He'd come, right? And so then comes Jesus, right, who the New Testament teaches us has become our high priest for us. So not only do we not have to have somebody with bells on go in for us, we can go in. Yes. And we can go in anytime we want. Do you know what the Old Testament people would say if they could see us? And we're like, man, that was an incredible system. That was just like, wow, and all these measurements and all these laws and just wow. I mean, that's a lot. They would look at us and be like, man, we have chips and peanuts. You guys have filet, buffalo, whatever. You guys have it made. That's incredible. And so Jesus also becomes our Sabbath, and we can, like John, lay our head upon him and find rest anytime, all day, any day. That's amazing. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all who are weary, because I am meek in heart." And what does he say? "I will give you rest for your soul." I will give you rest. Not just physical rest or vacation, but real rest for your soul. And by the way, you can come anytime you want. So you mean when chaos is going on out there, I can be out there, but walking in rest? Yeah. You mean when unforeseen circumstances come into my home and life gets a little janked up and this isn't supposed to happen this way, I can still experience rest? Yeah. And we try to go and rest, right? And then we come back exhausted. At least I do half the time. We want to live on vacation, but are we really resting in him? How are you resting? Rest is first because God is first. Right? The restless heart is the one that is always striving. Got this, God. I got this, God. I got to do this, God. I hear you. Yep. God, I got that. Got this. Hold on. Let me get it. Restless. You know what? We take a step back and say, God, you're God. And I can rest in you because you're God and I'm not. Yeah. Rest is first because God is first. To rest well is to trust well. How are you resting? The second essential element in the garden, Genesis 2 verse 15, responsibility. All right, we heard the rest. I like this. Forget my job. Hold on. Let's keep going. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Did you know God called Adam to a job? You know why? Because a job was healthy for Adam. I know you've done things before where, you didn't have to do it for a deadline, but like you just wanted to make something, and you do it, and you figure it out, and when you're done, man, that feels good. I think that's tapping into what Adam got to do every day, all day. What he was made to do. Responsibility, a job, a craft, to do something, I think is healthy for us, for our hearts. It's healthy. My wife, she met her parents in New Orleans this week, and they were at a Cajun restaurant. She sends me pictures. She's dancing with this dude. He looked like he's 65. He's 88. She danced with his 88-year-old just in the restaurant. Okay. I'm looking. I mean, then she tells me, like, he served in World War II and all this, and they danced, like, every week, he and his wife. And she was like, I couldn't keep up with him. So I was out of breath. I got to sit down. He's like, come on, let's dance. And then she says, oh, and by the way, he still, like, works on airplanes. Still working. 88. Healthy as an ox, right? Sometimes I wonder, are those people as healthy as they are? Because they just still work, you know? Still engaged in what God made them to do. I think a job is healthy. I think responsibility is good for us. So let me encourage you, make the most out of your job. Maybe you're somewhere temporarily, like, I don't want to do this forever. But make the most out of it. Find that place where, you know, I could do this unto him. I can do this as worship. Find that responsibility that maybe God has given you in this season and make the most of it. What does culture teach us? Man, I'm going to get to Friday. If I can just get to Friday. Right. Like, I mean, Monday, good night. You know, like just like zombie day, right? People just like, Monday feels rainy outside. I hate life. I mean, I got to go to work, pay my bill. I mean, you know, and then it's like, if I could just get, and then Wednesday, hump day, like, oh, woo, can feel Friday. You know, like, what is that? Right. You know, what a lie. Right. Because then what happens is after a while, like, we retire, finally found the weekend every day. What the heck are we going to do now? Like, looking for part-time jobs, you know, and the devil tricked us. It's all about the weekend. You know, we just like toil and labor and toil 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And I want to go back. You know, it's like, where did life go? Responsibility is good. A job. So make the most out of it. I believe it's good for your soul. Good. Third, essential element, Genesis 2, verse 16. Restriction. Yeah, that is good. Hang with me here. I know that was like, wait, what? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That took a weird turn. You're going to die? Hold on, God. We had this thing. Look, I've been asked this question so many times in the past years. Now, why did God have to put the tree? I've had people in my office, kids in my office. Why? Because, like, you know, sin is hard, baby. It's just hard, man. I'm trying, right? And then sometimes we come down to this. Why did God have to put the tree there? Why? And my first response is, well, I mean, what would a world be like without choice? Well, it's true. Probably wouldn't feel much. Would love even exist? No. Okay, there's a reason. But more recently, I'm looking at this. Do you see how good God is? What that verse said? You may surely eat of every tree in the garden. All the trees are yours. There's just one. Man, God, why you put the one tree? Look around, dummy. All the trees are yours. All the permission. But we focus on the restriction. Man, if I could just, why has it got to be this way, God? God is good, and grace and permission came first. So yeah, first, First of all, we had to have a choice so that we could choose a good God, okay? We had to have a choice for love as defined by God in his universe and his laws to even be possible. We had to have the choice to be able to say no so we could say yes. But secondly, the permission, the grace came before the restriction. God is good. He gave us a choice so we could choose a good God. He's good. You know, before the Ten Commandments came, it says in Exodus that I, the Lord, your God, set you free. Didn't say that. I said, brought you out of Egypt, freed you, saved you, delivered you, and brought you out of Egypt. So there was a God, a person, grace before the commandments were given. There was a lawgiver who gave a law. It wasn't just about the restrictions. It was about the God of grace who brought them out. And there's permission and grace before the restriction, meaning that the restriction has got to be healthy. It's healthy for us. When is the last time you just said no because you can? You know what? I could, so Paul said, all things permissible. I could, but no. Some people say I should, but no. When's the last time you said no to yourself, to your heart? It was good for Adam to have a no, and I believe it's good for us too to have a no. I know what you're thinking, but man, I just got to be me. I got to do my thing. I want to be free. Freedom. What a misunderstood concept. Freedom. Freedom is not just to do, be able to do what you want to do. It's not freedom. You know how I know that? Because every person I see that lives that way ends up in bondage. I just do what I want to do. And they come back, man, I can't stop. I got my duty. How's your freedom? You know? The reality is the human soul was made for absolute freedom within absolute limits. We were made for it, but the restriction is good for us. I heard of a study where they removed the fencing from a playground. Now, all the kids would go out to play in the playground, and they took the boundaries away. And all the kids huddled in the middle, scared. So then they put the fence back, and now all over the place, climbing the fence, trying to get out. You take the restriction away, and there's a little apprehensive, you know, like, I don't know, I'm scared. It's not much freedom there. But put the healthy boundaries and the healthy limits, and it's good for us. And it's not always about sin either, saying no. It's not always about sin. John Wesley, yeah, not Charles, John, I believe, came to his mother and said, Mom, what is sin? He asked his mom, Susanna Wesley, what is sin? She comes back with the most eloquent definition that would probably put most seminaries to shame. And she says, whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes off your relish of spiritual things, that thing is sin to you, however innocent it may be in itself. No wonder John Wesley preached all those thousands of sermons, right? And did what he did. And Charles wrote all those thousands of hymns. What a mom, what a definition. Look, if it takes off your relish of spiritual things, say no. It might not be sin then, but you know, it usually leads us to a colder affection for God, which almost always leads to sin. The restriction can be our friend. It was given to Adam before the fall because it was healthy for him. The last essential element, relationship, Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." I know we focus on the romantic, the marriage covenant and all that of Adam and Eve. But let me tell you, there's no romance there before there's friendship, or at least lasting romance. The friendship is the foundation, the soil, I believe, from which all the benefits of a relationship, you know, comes. And so I say that because, you know, well, I don't have a wife. I don't have a husband. You know, I'm taking classes right now. I'm not trying. The relationship, the friendship, I believe, is the essential element for the human heart. We have a lot of Facebook friends. We have a lot of Twitter followers. We don't have Snapchat, so we need to stay away from that demonic mess, all right? Got to know where it came from, is all I'm saying. But we have very few people that we can share our heart with. We have very few people that we can bear our souls with. But to the ones that are in your life that you can, how are you cultivating that relationship? It's good for you. Calling them, just saying, look, thinking about you. I'm preaching to myself, okay? Just wanted to, you know, say, man, you made a big difference. Or, you know, girl, you have made a big difference in my life. Some ladies, your girlfriend, you know, whatever. Tell them. Cultivate. Share. Open up. Talked about friendship months ago. And just talked about a friendship. And the most healthy friendship is one that just always lets you in and never lets you down. But are you letting people in? Do you have those kind of relationships? It was healthy. It was good for Adam. And I think it's healthy and it's good for us. Let me wrap this up. Every single one of these R's, if you will, rest, responsibility, restriction, relationship, they're not principles for health. You know, they're not healthy habits for success, okay? These are not seven health, you know, four healthy elements for a great you, right? They're not that. In fact, work them all day long and still find misery unless you have experienced the ultimate R, which is righteousness restored. The human heart first has to come home. By way of the cross, by way of Jesus, becoming our righteousness for us, and making it possible to have a new regenerated heart. Man, them R's are coming out today. Regeneration, you know, new heart. Restored righteousness is like the gate to the garden where we can experience rest, responsibility, restriction, relationship in its most healthy form. Restored righteousness. You know, Corinthians, Paul says that Jesus became righteousness for us, right? Jesus has done what we cannot do. He's died where we should have died. He's lived in a way that we could not live on our own. And because of what he's done in our place, we can be made righteous. We can become the righteousness of God. Has righteousness been restored? Not conjured up, not attempted, but righteousness restored by him who knew no sin, who became sin on your behalf, so that you could become the righteousness of God. Because until that, I mean, you can take these as principles, but I'm not sure we're going to find home. And the ultimate problem out there, the ultimate problem in here is sin. That is the human conundrum, the problem of sin. And how we find our way back home from this sinful state is through Jesus, his righteousness, and his being imputed to us and restored to us. Have you surrendered to Jesus and let righteousness be restored in your heart? Can you answer that honestly today? And if so, can you return? Can we live? Can we find a way to live in this environment of rest, responsibility, healthy restriction, and right relationships? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your presence here this morning, your love, your goodness, your kindness. Lord, I thank you that we get to gather. Lord, I thank you just for the things you're doing in this house and in the lives here. Thank you for the encouragement of these young people who are just going for you, Lord, and may it spur us on. Lord, thank you for this, where some of us who have walked with you longer have been, and Lord, may we be able to just mingle with one another and advance your kingdom. Lord, I thank you just for your word, for your beauty, Lord, that your goodness is towards us, that you're for us. Jesus, I thank you that you became sin for us. Lord, I pray that everything spoken and said today, Lord, could divide between soul and spirit, Lord, could be planted deep within us. And Lord, every single one of us can experience a life change from the inside out. From the inside out, Lord, may we experience life. May we walk from the inside out. May we worship from the inside out. May we love people from the inside out. May we just live life from the inner place with you, Lord, and let all that we do come flowing from that place. Lord, would you do what only you can do in every heart this morning? Bring what they need, Lord, change, salvation, healing, encouragement, whatever it may be, do what only you can do in this moment, I pray, Holy Spirit. If you're speaking to us, Lord, may we respond this morning, not this afternoon, not tomorrow, but can we respond now and say yes, yes, God, to whatever he's saying. Whatever he's leading, whatever he's encouraging, can we say yes to that this morning? It might be, God, I've tried in my strength to get to you. But now I see that you have become sin for me on my behalf, that your righteousness could be made mine. God, may I experience that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Give me a new heart. Change me. Maybe you haven't been resting well. Maybe you've just been getting it day in and day out. Restlessness, anxiety, fear, worry. Can we lay back on the Son of God this morning? Say, Lord, you invited us to come. I come. Can you show me how to walk in Sabbath rest? Maybe there's some things this morning that you know you need to say no to. You know, I'm going to say no when I leave here. I'm going to send that text. I'm going to, you know, uninstall whatever. I'm going to, whatever. You know you need to say no to. Lord, help us to respond. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Beatty, so much for that. Could we stand this morning as we dismiss? I want to encourage you, if you're a guest with us, thank you so much for being here.